So let's go to page 56. We'll go to the new material and finish the PDF now. We have to talk about the future too. And then we'll return to Japan at the end. So, the section is Ra's spiritual practices in 6D. Don asks, could you describe the rituals or techniques that Ra uses to grow and serve? Ra says, to speak of the conditions of awareness in which six-density social memory complexes labor in order to advance is nearly impossible, for much is lost in transmission of concept. That's the point here, transmission of concept from density to density. And the discussion of six-density life is inevitably distorted greatly. That's something to keep in mind. However, we shall attempt to answer your question, since it allows us to express once again the total unity of creation. We seek the Creator upon a level of shared experience to which you are not privy, and rather than surrounding ourselves in light, we have become light. Our understanding is that there is no other material except light. Our rituals are an infinitely subtle continuation of the balancing process which you're now beginning to experience. We seek now without polarity. Thus, we do not invoke any power from without, for our search has become internalized as we become light love, love light. These are the balances we seek, the balances between compassion and wisdom, which more and more allow our understanding of all experience to be informed, so that we may come closer to the unity with the one Creator, which we so joyfully seek. Your own rituals at your level of progress, 3D, contain the concept of polarization, and this is most central at your particular dimensional level. Now, rather than surrounding themselves in light, rather than seeking power from without, rather than asking for help, their search is internalized. They have become light, light, love, love, light. They understand now there is no other matter, form, stuff, vibration, except light. Light is energy, energy is light. All matter, all material is light. And Ra said, the nature of all energy is light. The origin of all light is the action of free will upon love. Now this is free will or will of the infinite creator upon the creator's infinite love. Those are the first two laws, the law of free will, the law of love, which basically are the manifestation of the law of one in form, in matter, in light. So the third, the law of light, is the laws of creation, which is, you know, infinite octaves, seven-dimensional spheres of experience manifest by a logos or a solar creator or galactic creator. So, infinitely subtle continuation of just the same balancing. They seek the balances of wisdom and compassion. But I would say at that level, they understand that wisdom is compassion. Compassion is wisdom. This is really the two primary forces of light. Electromagnetism, or electricity and magnetism. Yin and yang. As I said before, the outgoing and the receptive. Or the dynamic and the magnetic. So, radiation and magnetism is one way of saying wisdom and compassion. Compassion is fourth chakra. Fourth chakra is pure receptivity, complete acceptance, unconditional acceptance of all that is. No struggle, no conflict, no manipulation, no control. no control. The crystallized healer has no will. Meaning, the crystallized healer or the adept, which is a reflection in third density of Ra in six, the adept has become a unification of love wisdom. And that's why they're working from six center in a stable way. Love wisdom is fourth, fifth chakra activation. The primary quality of those qualities are reception and transmission. Reception is love, compassion. Transmission is wisdom or dynamic light activity, rather than the activity of reception. So magnetism is love, yin. Radiation is yang, male, female, male, if you want to use those. Outgoing, just as the left arm receives and the right arm transmits, the left arm links to fourth ray, the right arm links to fifth ray. Wisdom, compassion comes in and goes out as wisdom. Ra, in late 60, as a group, is ever more subtly unifying self with self, self with other self, self with the Creator, in the exact same dance of reception, transmission, magnetism, electricity, yin and yang. So the goal is greater unity with the one Creator. You know, the one Creator is the oneness of creation and the one all, the all, visible, non-visible, light and the source of light, right? Ra said, you are dancing thoughts. Dance, there is no material. There is no, you are not living in a material universe, you are dancing thoughts. So, the material, the apparent appearing material universe is light, or light, love, love, light. That is the blend of love, wisdom. The source of light is love, wisdom. Light is the child of the parents of love, wisdom. So light is the child of the infinite love-wisdom union of the one infinite. Knowing themselves as light, we are light now. It's not they've become light. They have finally realized they are light. Hey, this is no different than an adept or Nityananda. Nityananda knows what they're talking about. Nityananda is their teacher and the Buddha and guys like that. Not Kalu Rinpoche, unfortunately, or the Dalai Lama, or Sai Baba, it seems. Light is born of the infinite love wisdom of the Creator. Light is the dancing thought of infinite love wisdom. Ra, at late 6D, knows, as a group, as an individual, unity, as individual, whatever individuality is left there, and as a one group, that their being is absolute love, wisdom, unity. The blend that their being is light and the source of light. And they continue the balancing process, which would be a very... If you can imagine a very, very subtle dancing, you know, if you've ever, you know, been in an altered state of consciousness from meditation or whatever, you can see that there's infinite meaning in every moment of thought and gesture. Every gesture, every moment of thought, every thought has infinite meaning, infinite value. Infinitely joyous, actually. Every moment of gesture of body, mind, spirit, every momentary gesture is infinite joy when it's fully known. That's why the true masters have no material possessions, because they don't need it. They have love. They have infinite joy. They know infinite joy from the gesture of each moment of their being. They know it. Why do they want metal and paper and tires like Rajneesh 12 Rolls Royce? Why do they need brocade pillows? They don't need anything. They have everything because they know they are everything, and everything, that everything, identity as everything, is joy. The adept opens itself to the universe, which it is. Which it is. Any questions before the last paragraphs, the last section of this very wonderful PDF? And I don't say it's wonderful for myself, I say it's wonderful because of the teacher. And I'm very happy to have put this together. It rested in my computer for years, and I felt called to do it, and it was a piece of work, you know. I mean, I went through 3-4 volumes and put it all together. It was a piece of work, and I can't say I've done so many big pieces of work, really. I'm just very happy that I did this, you know. I consider myself very lazy, actually, but I'm glad I did this. And I'm glad you're here, because if you were not here, I would not be here speaking it with you. Okay, any final questions about that last section on Maha? Anybody? Pipe in, please, quick, because we only have about 10 minutes before 2 hours. But we'll go a little longer, of course. Yes, exactly. I mean, meditation is a taste of emptiness, shunyata. So you really can't talk about, you know, when you're in real meditation, you can't say or think, I'm in real meditation. In real meditation, there's no concept formation other than the formation of the concept that no concept has any value. You can have the concept of the perception of nothingness, but the true perception of nothingness is without concept. Nirvana or enlightenment, you know, as far as I know, from my own experience of whatever, and reading and thought, enlightenment is not without thought. Thought is not a problem, but, I mean, the Buddha spoke, so he had a thought, or a concept from the knowing, his knowing. But you certainly cannot speak of infinity, and you really can't speak of emptiness. And you know, Rinzai, my dear friend Lin Chi, said, you know, if you speak about it, once you speak of it, you've lost it. And so, again, I recommend that essay, Lin Chi and the True Man Without Rank. Beautiful guy. I mean, I consider him not as advanced as Nityananda, but he's a similar mind to me, so I like him. Any comment or question before we go to the last section here? It's sort of appropriate in a way that we get to the last section right in between. Okay. We're really getting into this right in between, I would say, the first and the second blows, B-L-O-W-S, the first and second blows of obviously the most serious destructive event since 9/11, because multiple reactor nuclear meltdown is a serious matter. The earthquakes are continuing. That's an attack, I say, I think. You can see others' view of it. I mean, Benjamin Fulford says it's an attack, but I don't agree with his interpretation fully, and next week perhaps we can get into it, but not now. The attack is continuing. The attack is moving south. Tokyo is the target. They've already said that they fear something bigger in Tokyo. There's a meltdown occurring at multiple reactors now. The U.S. Navy moved away. They moved away because they don't want their systems fried. They'll keep their Marines on the ground, but they'll lose the guys, but they don't want to lose the ship. That's why they moved away. Sorry to say. All right. We're basically concluding, I think, a very important document right in the middle between the first and the second blow of what probably or perhaps will be the triggering event for the next phase of the move to the New World Order in the way 9/11 was for the last 10 years, right? It would also be interesting, Rosemary or Billy or anybody who's interested in the working, 9/11 was a 9. 7/7, I think, was London, was a 7. Madrid bomb, train bomb thing was a 5 or a 3, I think. I don't follow all the numerics, but this is a 3/11. This is not an accident. It's not an accident that this occurred 3/11/11. And I'll tell you my prediction. Yeah, 11 is creation, but it's also, the Illuminati like that number too. My prediction, and I hope I don't get killed for it, is that January 2012 will be the next one of something, because it looks like they're going down from 9 to 1. And I won't say more because I don't know anymore, but if you want to look at dates of major disasters in the last 10 years, maybe you'll see a 9, an odd line. Odd line is 13579, declension. Or descension. You see, the Illuminati goal is descension, while the planet is making ascension. I would worry about January 2012, because I think the next is one, but it's pivotal. And important, I think, and relevant that we're getting into we're ending this PDF in the middle of what I think is going to be the major triggering event for the next phase here. So let's go. What is the value of this whole thing? The value of 3D incarnation, page 56, the final. I didn't even realize I put this as the final paragraph or final section, and I'm glad I did, because personally I've been reading this more often, and it's really the pith teaching here in some way from Ra as to, you know, what's it all about, Alfie. So Don asks, why must souls come into 3D physical form, become veiled, and lose conscious memory of their spiritual desires, and only then seek to make spiritual growth? Ra says, let us give an example of a man who sees all the poker hands. He then knows the game. It is but child's play to gamble, for it's no risk. The other hands are known. The possibilities are known, and the hand will be played correctly, but with no interest. In time-space, 3D interplanes, and in true color green, 4D, 4D positive also, and 4D negative both, the hands of all are open to the eye. their thoughts, feelings, troubles, all these may be seen. There is no deception and no desire for deception, because it's not possible. Thus, much may be accomplished in harmony, but the soul gains little in polarity from this interaction. And my gloss here is, with no confusion or veil to pierce, there's no spiritual challenge. And so Ra said, the game is played correctly, but with no interest. There's no risk, but there's no confusion, and there's no doubt. And you do your goodness, you know, you manifest your goodness straight out. In 4D negative, they manifest their badness straight away. So, then Ra goes on. So, let us examine this metaphor and multiply it into the longest poker game you can imagine, a lifetime. The cards are love, dislike, limitation, unhappiness, pleasure, etc. These are forms of catalyst. They are dealt and redealt and redealt continuously. You may, during this incarnation, begin, and we stress, begin to know your own cards. You may begin to find the love within you. You may begin to balance your pleasure, your limitations. However, your only indication of the cards of others is to look into their eyes. And I wrote, the body-mind-spirit process is veiled from direct perception, and the eyes relate to fourth chakra, by the way. So looking into their eyes is looking into their heart. Listening well is fifth ray development of wisdom. So listen, you know, son of liberty, look and listen, said the angel to George Washington. Check this one if you want something very interesting. The angel that met him in wherever he was, Valley Forge or something, in his tent, in the claim of his biographer, said to George, Ra talks about George a little bit, said, son of liberty, look and listen. So I say that to thee, son and daughter of light, look and listen. So you may begin to balance your pleasure, your limitations. These cards are dealt and redealt and redealt continuously. You cannot remember your hand, their hands, perhaps even the rules of the game. This game can only be won by those who lose their cards in the melting influence of love. Can only be won by those who lay their pleasures, their limitations. They're all upon the table, face up, and say inwardly, all of you players, each other self, whatever your hand, I love you. This is the game. To know, to accept, to forgive, to balance, and to open the self in love. This cannot be done without the forgetting, for it would carry no weight in the life of the total self. The exact quote for that, which I would like to bring now, I apologize for having made a little easier these passages to put into the PDF. In my new book, wherever it is, I use the exact quote, the direct quotes more. That's the page. Ra, I'd like to read the last two paragraphs directly from Ra. Let us re-examine this metaphor and multiply it into the longest poker game you can imagine, a lifetime. The cards are love, dislike, limitation, unhappiness, pleasure, etc. They are dealt and redealt and redealt continuously. You may, during this incarnation, begin, and we stress begin to know your own cards. You may begin to find the love within you. You may begin to balance your pleasure, your limitations, etc. However, your only indication of other selves' cards is to look into the eyes. You cannot remember your hand, their hands, perhaps even the rules of this game. This game can only be won by those who lose their cards in the melting influence of love, can only be won by those who lay their pleasures, their limitations, their all upon the table face up and say inwardly, all of you players, each other self, whatever your hand, I love you. This is the game, to know, to accept, to forgive, to balance, and to open the self in love. This cannot be done without the forgetting, for it would carry no weight in the life of the mind-body-spirit beingness totality. So, with that, we conclude this PDF. Now we are dealt the cards. You're welcome, Earhart. It's a beautiful quote. Now we're dealt the cards of the Japan destruction. We know, I know, it's an operation in the larger plan of 3D negative, 4D negative. We know it's continuing. We sense that it could be quite devastating for Japan and significant for some other nations, including America. We don't know where it's going. We also know, and you should know, that more is coming. This is not the end of the line for Japan, but this is an amping up. I would expect more. Don't be surprised, and I don't mind to predict. Don't be surprised that in the next year, you will see more 9.0s. We're now in 9, right? 9-1-1. 9. 9 is the end, and 9-1-1 was the beginning of this last phase. I wrote about it in a couple of essays. 9-1-1 was, so I said, beginning the last major phase. So we know this is going on. So the cards are coming. The cards of, you know, national destruction, individual and community suffering, death, disease, you know, the horsemen are on their way. The horseman on the Egyptian bridge was no accident, whether it was Bluebeam or Astral or 4D negative or a camera flare, clearly it's on its way. So these are the cards that are being dealt. Can we say, I love you, Illuminati? I love you, Prime Minister Khan and the nuclear agency. I love you, this experience of suffering. I don't want suffering. We don't want suffering. We don't like it. But we can love it. Love it is to know it. Knowing is love. Knowing is love. And that's the problem with the negatives. Because they can't love, they don't know deeply. That's why I've said they're shallow. They're kind of stupid. They're actually kind of stupid. For the amount of work they do, they're actually stupid. They know technique. Ra says, begin and end in the Creator, not in technique. They never leave technique. Only in late 5D negative do they leave technique, or mid 5D negative, they leave technique. But they can't leave technique, because once they approach the Creator, they approach unity. You can't be in separation entering unity. So they have to stay with technique. Therefore, they're shallow. Technique is control, absolutely. This is the game for us. To know, to accept, to forgive, to balance, to open the self in love. Knowing is love. Acceptance is love. Forgiveness is love. Balancing is love. And it is also wisdom. True wisdom. True wisdom is love. Love and wisdom. I wrote about this in Fifth Chakra, the essays about Fifth Chakra. Full love is full wisdom. There's no full love without full knowing. There's no full knowing without love. If you want love, you must know. And if you want wisdom, you must accept all as it is. You, me, everybody, we're all in the same path. So that challenge to know and accept and forgive and balance and open ourselves in love moment by moment, no matter what catalyst arises, whether it's the suffering of others or the evil of the plan or their plan, or the fear we feel, our fear, our sorrow, our lamentation, our concern, our powerlessness to stop it all, the outer stuff. Those are the cards dealt us now. Can we love our cards and forgive ourselves and love and accept and know our powerless fear, weakness, doubt, confusion, hopelessness, discouragement? That's the real pain. The real pain is your mind. So, me too. You know, your mind, my mind. Our mind is our pain. So, to truly love and know and accept and forgive, that carries weight for all we are, meaning the life of the total self, the body, mind, spirit, beingness, totality. For that knowing and loving to carry weight, we have to be in the veil. In the non-veiled region, time, space, higher plane, higher dimensions, without veil, there's no working in polarity. Very little. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to be in 3D physical for polarization, but it's a completely different magnitude. So anyway, I think you got the point. This is the game, to know, to accept, to forgive, to balance, to open the self in love, primarily to our pain. If you do it to your pain, you can open and know and accept and forgive the pain of others and the negativity of others, in this case. This game can only be won, meaning the 3D incarnation can only be successfully passed through by those who lose their cards in the melting influence of love, and only be won by those who lay their pleasures, their limitations, their all upon the table face up to themselves. You don't have to tell everybody your mind. And say inwardly to yourself, all of you players, each other's self, whatever your hand, I love you. So, you know, a great teacher talks about love. You know, that is central. And that's why I believe Robert Kennedy was a great man, because he talks about love. Yeah, no politician's talking that way. So that's the point. It's sort of like a game. It is a game. Ra said, this is the game. It is a game. But it's not a spiteful game. You know? So thank you everybody very much. And okay, good night everybody. See you again soon. Take care.